Four reasons we get discouraged, guys: fatigue, focus, the loss of fortitude, and fear. You go, Ben, what did we learn tonight? Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord. He's great and glorious. And remember to fight. How do I fight? On my knees.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome back to the Hope Restored series as we continue through Nehemiah chapter 4. So far, we've seen the enemy attack from the outside. Now the battle moves inside the camp. Today, our message from verses 10 through 14 is titled Dealing with Internal Opposition. The enemy doesn't need to tear down the walls if he could convince the builders to stop building. Weariness, discouragement, fear, and negative voices become his greatest weapons. Nehemiah responds by calling the people to lift their eyes above the rubble. He says, "Remember the Lord, great and awesome." That one command changes everything. When God's people remember who He is, courage begins replacing fear. Internal opposition loses its power when we remember God's greatness and His faithfulness. The greatest battlefield is often the mind and heart. The enemy wants us to believe that we're defeated before the battle's even over. So today let's ask ourselves, what voices have we been listening to lately? The voices of fear, or the voice of discouragement, or are we listening to the voice of God? Let's join Pastor Ben in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 10 through 14 in today's lesson, Dealing with Internal Opposition.
Listen, here's the key. Ready? Christians, you need to be growing. You need to be growing. It's progressive sanctification. You need to be a little bit more like Jesus tomorrow than you are today. It's a little bit more. Growing. Many Christians have a walk like this. We're on top of the mountain, we're down in the valley. Things are really hard. We're up on the mountaintop and we feel like a roller coaster, right? We're like, and then we're down and, things are good. Bless the Lord. Pray. That's not how I want my walk. I want my walk to just slowly climb. Just progressive sanctification. Lord, I'm going to be like you. I can't do it. But I want you to listen to this, guys. When we focus on the rubbish, the temptation is to run and quit. When we focus on the negative, and it's not an easy thing to do. Guys, we've been here 21 years. And if we focus on, oh, Lord, there are so many blue chairs. The Lord's like, dude, don't focus on the chairs, focus on the people. But we can get discouraged. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
You go, well, Ben, I've got a question. What's the rubbish in our lives that seek to discourage us? Well, you can jot this down. Pride. Pride is a rubbish that seeks to discourage us. I'm not where I want to be. I should be here. I don't understand why people are not. Self-centeredness. You know, that's rubbish that needs to go out. I'll tell you another one. Unbelief. In Scripture alone, I don't know about you, but God ministers to me so much about how He's in complete control and He's got my life in His hands and I don't have to worry, and I worry. I'm ministered to all the time. Lord, you've got this. You already know tomorrow. You're already there. Let me say this. This is so cool because everything you're going through is Father filtered. It's got to go through God first. And yet, come on, somebody, worry, stress, anxiety, unbelief is rubbish that I need to get out of my life. But let me give you the key. You ready? The key is not to focus on the rubbish, but to focus on the Lord. To focus on the Lord. I think of my sister Story here. My sister Story is one where she didn't focus on the rubbish. She focused on the church. Pastor Ben, if my car hadn't broke down, I wouldn't have found you. How many of us would have focused on the car breaking down and said, Lord, this is what you do. My car's broken. If I wake up tomorrow and we have a flat tire, how many of us are going to focus on the negative and not be like, okay, Lord, help me take it to where you want to, because there might be somebody I need to minister to. Now I'm with you. I'd probably be bummed. No, I wouldn't be bummed. I wouldn't be mad. I would just kind of be like, Lord, I don't need this today. Why is my tire flat? You ran over a nail. Well, how come that? Yeah. Now, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? Guys, let's not focus on the rubbish, but focus on the Lord. Let me give you the third one. It's a loss of F word, fortitude. Fortitude. You go, Ben, what's fortitude? Let me give you the definition. Courage in pain or adversity. Courage in pain. So fortitude is courage in pain or adversity, and now we don't have that. We have the loss of that. Let me explain it this way. Listen to how the NASB translation puts it. He says, yet there is much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to build the wall. And we ourselves, when you lose your strength and your focus, you ready? The next thing to go is your confidence. Your confidence. And last week, we learned that the people had a heart to pray, a mind to work, and an eye to watch. But now, that thing is a thing of the past. They don't have the heart to pray. They've lost the mind to work. They don't have the eye to watch. You know what? They're feeling overwhelmed. And they're already talking to themselves saying, I'm not going to make it. We're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. That's the internal opposition. You can jot down in your Bible somewhere, misplaced confidence. Misplaced confidence. See, you and I, we're invited to join the work, but our confidence is in the Lord Jesus to do his work. We're invited to do the work. I've told you before, the heart of our church is to love and serve people, to love people, to see them where they're at, to see them how God sees them. But it's a work of the Lord, guys. It's a work of the Lord. So you go, what? Fatigue, right? Loss of focus, loss of fortitude. Now, the fourth reason we have for getting discouraged is actually found in verse 11, 12. And this is deep, guys. Nehemiah 4, 11 and 12 says this. And our adversaries said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. You guys see that? We were taught that we need to watch without, and if we're not careful, this will lead us to the fourth F word, fear. Fear. It was Pastor Alan Redpath that said, fear is the greatest enemy of our faith. Fear is the greatest enemy of our faith. Fear has a way of crippling us. Fear happens when we're focusing on the threats of the enemy. And they said to us 10 times, 10 times. Can you imagine? It's bad enough that the people are tired. We're building the wall and they've lost their focus and they've lost their fortitude and their confidence. And now they're being whispered all the time. Hey, listen, we're coming to get you. We're coming to get you. When your time you turn around, don't go build the wall. If you build the wall, they're coming. And this is what's happening. I think it's important for us to memorize scripture. And a good scripture to memorize is Psalm 27:1. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Wouldn't that a great verse to memorize? When I'm afraid, when there's fear, the Lord is my light and my salvation, right? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? They're coming to get you. I have to go to God first. They want to trip you up. Not going to happen. I don't need to be afraid. I don't need to be afraid. I heard this quote at a conference. I thought it was pretty good. Notice, it says this. Notice the attacks on us. It said, ministry is not for the faint-hearted. Don't entertain those who seek to destroy us. I thought, that's pretty cool. Why? You go, well, Ben, I'm not in ministry. No, you are. According to God's word, we're all in the ministry. Okay? It's my job to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. But remember this. The ministry is not for the faint-hearted, and don't entertain those who seek to destroy us. Wrap your mind around this. There was a persistent rumor as they're working, a persistent rumor of the imminent attack to discourage the workers. The neighboring Jews repeatedly urged those who were building to leave the work and return home to protect their families. Can you imagine? Sheree, what are you doing at Calvary Chapel on Wednesday night? You need to go home and protect your family. They're going to come in and attack. You don't know when they're going to attack. And 10 times, What are you doing here worshiping the Lord? Reina, you've got to be. And that's over and over and over. Over. Wow. I want you to put your thinking caps on for just a second. The Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again, this is what they're doing. And they whispered in our ear, they will come from all direction and attack you. They're going to come. They're going to come. So what are some things that get us discouraged? Number one, fatigue. We're tired. Watch out. Get your rest. Make sure you're resting. Number two is loss of focus. What are you focusing on? I want to get my eyes off the rubbish. I want to get my eyes off the wall. I want to get my eyes off the half of the gate. I want to get my eyes on the Lord. The third thing is what? Loss of fortitude. If I lose focus, I'm going to lose confidence. And I'm going to start telling myself, this will never do. And that's exactly what happens. Let me just share my testimony with you for just a second, okay? I got saved at 17. I remember walking forward, prayed the prayer. Man, felt like the Lord did just an incredible work. But within 2 to 3 weeks, I was discouraged in my walk because I thought, man, I can't do this Christian thing. I keep sinning all the time. And it was so discouraging that I was willing to quit. I was ready to quit because I didn't understand. And the enemy was like, no, you can't. Oh, you sin right there. Oh, you look there. Oh, and I'm just a brand new believer with no discipleship, no nothing, going, I don't know what to do now. Here's why. Because sometimes we think if you give your life to the Lord, everything's going to be perfect. You're going to be just a solid Christian. You're going to be, you're never going to sin again. And you're like, man, that's the farthest from the truth, isn't it? You know what the difference is? Right now, you know what the difference is? The difference is that as believers, we know when we sin now. We know, and we're like, oh. When we were unbelievers, we didn't know. We're like, oh, was that a sin? I don't think that was a sin. I don't know what that is. And then now it's like, oh, you go, Ben, that's pretty discouraging sermon. No, let me land this plane, if you will, on how to deal with discouragement. Okay, don't close your Bibles. I'm not closing yet, but I want to give you three things that we can learn from Nehemiah. Okay? Notice what he says in verse 13. I think it's key. He says, therefore, whenever we see a therefore, notice that he's going to give us some application. He says, I position the men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. I want to draw your attention right here. It's very, very important. Nehemiah is giving us great leadership skills. Because Nehemiah doesn't look at the situation. Judah's coming in and they're complaining. Everybody's just in a bad mood and they're complaining. And he doesn't go, well, fine. I'm just going to go back. I'm going to go back. I don't need you guys. If you don't want to build, he's a strong leader and he has a heart for God. Why? Because he takes matters in his hands. And the first thing he does is he positions the men to do what? He encourages them to fight. Listen to me, church. What are you fighting for? What are you fighting for? We're going to talk about that in a second, but look at verse 14. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the leaders and to the rest of the people. Way to go, Nehemiah. He says, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your wives and your houses. We're rebuilding the wall, and it's much, much more than putting some stones on one on another. It's deeper than that. Your walks are deeper than that. You go, well, Ben, how do we deal with discouragement? Number one, if you're taking note, unify our efforts toward the goal. Unify our efforts. You go, what do you mean? The builders had been scattered all over Jerusalem walking on the wall. But this time, Nehemiah brings them in and he goes, okay, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. Tony, you're going to build the wall with your family. Ron, you're building the wall with your family. Okay. Keon, over here, you're building the wall, your family. And he's doing this. Why? Because think about this. He's wanting to unify the efforts. He just told them, listen, what are you fighting for? You're fighting for your family. He's fighting. He goes, look. He says, don't be afraid of them. Remember, the Lord, great and awesome. Fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Guys, think about that. Think about that. What are we fighting for? Now, we're going to unify our efforts. The second thing on how to deal with discouragement We see right here, he exhorted them to put their focus back on the Lord. How do you know? He said, remember the Lord, great and awesome. Why are we told to remember the Lord? Shouldn't we remember the Lord? But oftentimes we need to be exhorted. Remember the Lord. When you're going through that trial, when you're going through the storm, when you're laying in a hospital bed not knowing what the procedure is, when the doctor tells you it's cancer, any of these things, guys, remember who God is. You see, when my wife had cancer, they basically wrote out a death sentence. Yeah, you know what? We're going to try, but she could die. You know, people die from this, pastor. That's what the lady told me. And you know what? You know what God spoke? He said, the cross has the final word. But I had to get my eyes off the cancer and onto Jesus. You go, what did that look like in your life? You know what that looked like? It looks like in your life, it looks like in mine. I had to go to the Lord in a very real way and say, Lord, you loan her to me for 27 years. If you want to take her home, she's your daughter before she's my wife. I have to be okay with that. And the Lord's like, bingo, get your eyes off of that. Get them on me. You go, yeah, Ben, but dude, it could have went either way. Exactly. But who's sovereign? Me? God is. And the exhortation for us is know that you've got to trust him with all of your heart, with all of your mind. You trust him for your very life. As a matter of fact, think about this. When you lay down your head tonight and you don't know if you're going to wake up tomorrow, your trust is in him and what he did at the cross. And if we're trusting him for our salvation, why are we not trusting him for everything else? Why? I trust you, Lord, you're sovereign. He exhorted them. That's why I love Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and 1. Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes, remember now your creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember the Lord now. Can I exhort you guys to do something? Could you guys just keep a journal? You go, keep a journal? Man, that's the best way to remember how God does amazing things in your life. We'll forget. We'll forget. But when he moves in a mighty way, when God moves and you're going, man, pray. And you, anytime you say praise the Lord, there's something to be written for you to remember. I lost my job. Praise the Lord. Watch how he moved. And the reason why, guys, is when things get really difficult, it's so important to go back and go, oh, yeah. God, you've never left me. You never forsake me. You're right here. And if you had a journal, man, just of the things that God has done. I don't remember half the things. We planted this church 21 years ago, and God moved mightily in our church, and I should have written them down. I should have had them. Oh, wow, Lord, I know when you did this. Oh, Lord, when you did that. Oh, God. But we see this happening every Sunday when people say yes to Jesus. We should be writing those down. I guess my question to you is, where is our focus? And I'm including myself. Where is our focus in times of discouragement? Where's my focus? I got to be honest with you. The first few years at Calvary Chapel, I was upset with God. I was like, okay, this is what you do. To guys like me, I was encouraged by the elders of my church that I came out of that, okay, Ben, you went to plant the church, quit your job. You're working 60 hours a week. That's not what you went there for. You know, trust the Lord. He's going to give you a good job. And we saw our savings go like this. We saw everything. And I was like, okay, I need to keep my eyes on the Lord. Let me give you the third one. He reminded them what they were fighting for. You go, what do you mean? How do we deal with discouragement? Be reminded of what you're fighting for. He said, you're fighting for your brethren. He's fighting for your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. If there was ever a fitting word for our church, it's this one. Remember what you're fighting for. Husbands, pray for your wives. Pray for your wives, pray with your wife. Remember what you're fighting for. God has made you the spiritual leader of that home. Pray for your wives. Pray for your marriages, those of you that are married. Pray for your marriages. Sometimes when we've been married a long, long time, we sort of put it on cruise control. It's good. I'm good with her. And we don't do this in a mean way or weird way. We just sort of get used to each other. And you start hitting the 20-year mark or the 25-year mark or the 30-year mark or the 37-year mark or the 40-year mark. I think wisdom dictates that we should continue to pray for our marriages. Pray for your walks with God. pray for your walks with God. If you don't have a walk with God, tonight's the night to get a walk with God. But pray, Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to glorify you. I want my life to count. Church, I know this is commonplace and cliche, but the little dash between our birth and our death date, that's all we got. I don't know about you, but I want my dash to count. Well, of course it's going to count, Ben. You're behind the pulpit. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about my dash counting from up here, although that would be cool too. I'm talking about every day, a kind word, a smile, a hug, an encouraging word. Every day, praying for my walk with God. Praying when I need to stand bold in the presence of God, going, no, I'm not going to let sin in. And praying when I've got to go help a brother up because they're a mess. Come on. I blew it again. I know. Do you remember what Paul tells us? Paul says, you who are spiritual, you know, help a brother up. Just be careful that you don't get caught. I'm paraphrasing. You don't get caught in there because it's easy. You're trying to help a brother up and he's a complainer and he's a mess up and he's negative. You'll find yourself being negative. Pray for your relationships. Pray for your relationships. These are things that we need to be praying for. Dads, we need to be praying for our kids. If you're not praying for your kids and you're not praying for your grandkids and you're not praying for that, we're the intercessors. We need to be praying for them. Do you remember our story? What did the Lord say? He said, but your calling was to be obedient and push and to exercise your faith and trust in my wisdom. This you've done, my friend. Now I will move the rock, the rock. All we're called to do is what he's calling us to do. Let him build the wall where he wants it and the safety that we need and the walks that we have. As we close our Bible study, I want to remember, watch within. Okay, got to watch within. Who's my circles? Watch without. Okay, we see the external opposition. Check your blind side. That's where you're going. You're so, you all have a blind side. You got to be careful. Four reasons we get discouraged, guys: fatigue, focus, the loss of fortitude, and fear. You go, Ben, what did we learn tonight? Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord. He's great and glorious. And remember to fight. How do I fight? On my knees. Can I get an amen? Amen? Father, we thank you tonight for your word and the truth in your word. And we thank you, Lord, that even though we're talking about discouragement and opposition, Lord, we still see the silver lining of the God who created us to give us hope and give us peace. Father, we thank you that we can learn from your word. Lord, we don't want to just hear a Bible study and be like, amen, that was good. I want it to penetrate our hearts, God. Help us to be more like you. Help us to love and serve people like you. Father, we love you and we praise you and we honor you tonight. Father, if you need to do a work in our lives, we're here, we're available. Lord, do a work. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. In Christ.
Next time in our verse-by-verse study through Nehemiah, we'll see that the people didn't stop building. They simply changed the way they worked. In Nehemiah chapter 4, 15 through 23, we'll discover how to build with one hand and be ready for battle with the other, learning that faithfulness requires both diligence and vigilance. In the next lesson, building and battling go hand in hand. That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast, with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.